The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Delighted to have you here on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Join the conversation at 770-563-3770-KMED. The email Bill at BillMyersShow.com. The Facebook.com/BillMyersShow is up. I do believe we have 99.3 KBXG back on for the morning show. Yesterday, power outages ended up pretty much slicing and dicing a lot of the media available here in Southern Oregon, just kind of the way it goes. Pacific Power here. Let me take a look at the outage map for this morning. They say they have 97% of the people who were affected by outages back on. Of course, if you're one of the remaining 3%, it's still a real pain in the butt here. Got about 20 out near Cave Junction, 339 in the Merlin area north of Grants Pass, 180 or so in the Medford area, about 645 Phoenix Talent, you know, the South Jackson County, and a handful of them out in the Klamath Falls area, too. Shady Cove still has a couple of dozen that they're still looking to get on. And it has just been, they have just been just working their butts off to get up there. Of course, a lot of these rural power lines end up serving many of our radio transmitters, and they're in very inaccessible places up on top of Phoenix Baldy. I know that there were our radio stations for other groups that are up on top of Mount Ashland that haven't had power for a few days. They may have got it back on finally, but everybody's just working real hard. And most of the time, your generators are designed for, maybe they keep you going for a couple of days, a day or two, but it's usually not a real long-term sort of thing. I know Fox 26 is in a building where we also have one of our radio stations on Phoenix Baldy, and there's been no power up there for about a day and a half, and they claim it's going to be up at 10 o'clock or so this morning. And hopefully they're getting a handle on this, but a lot of these areas, even now, they're having to go out and use the snowcat type devices. They've got these little mini snowcats. They're pretty cool, but Pacific Power has. And they'll go up there and service the lines, and usually it's the same sort of thing. It's either heavy snow or ice on the lines, or lots of heavy snow and ice on the branches have brought down some tree branches over some limbs. Yeah, there's been a lot of that going on. Mother Nature, if the snow had been drier and lighter, it wouldn't have been as much of a problem. But on the other hand, the water is going to be certainly good. And then there's the downside of that, though. Gosh, I know they rescued a man in Medford in which his carport ended up having the snow and ice on it collapse on him. And Medford Fire ended up coming out and getting him out. Bryce, I was telling you about yesterday, my colleague here, over at Q100.3, his carport or kind of garage thing ended up snapping and collapsing and trapping a bunch of stuff. He wasn't underneath it, at least, though. And a lot of weight on the roofs, but it is starting to melt. The roads are considerably clearer this morning. The schools are still closed, though. And the forecast is that we could still see another couple of inches or more on the valley floor, maybe a little bit more. But it's been pretty spotty. In my East Medford neighborhood, the streets are now clearing out. The main streets like the Delta Water Speedway and Crater Lake Avenue, Highway 62, they're just fine, you know, at this point. Biddle, I-5, you know, they're all looking good. Some of the side streets are still slushy and smooshy, but it's melting pretty rapidly at the moment because it's like 33 degrees at my house, so it's enough. And we don't have the ice frozen problem. Maybe in your particular neighborhood, you may have a colder temp that's going to have that hang on for a little bit. But at least in my neighborhood, I had no problem getting in and out and shoveled off a bit of the sidewalk yesterday, getting that heavy, wet, gloppy snow off. But with this low elevation, heavy snow, this could be helping our water year. And I think that's good news for at least the water in the valley. That has been a concern that we weren't going to be having the heavy water or heavy snow at the lower elevations. I think that has changed a bit depending on how cold it's going to be over the next few days. I don't know if we're looking at I don't think we're looking at anything like a 1964 type flood in which some people were saying that we could be facing. All right. Just about all the schools are closed. Most schools are closed. Now, last time I checked it last night, Central Point School District 6 was on a two-hour delay. I don't know if they had thrown in the towel and gone with a full closure, but practically everybody else is. See, Central Point was on a two-hour delay. Eagle Point was also claiming a two-hour delay. Big Springs Elementary delayed till 10:15. That's what they're talking. I don't even know where Big Springs Elementary is, maybe in Klamath Falls. Grants Pass School District got a two-hour delay. And Willow Creek Elementary School District delayed till 10 o'clock or so this morning. So other than that, everybody is shut down this morning, I think, out of an abundance of caution. I noticed I had a note from Cheryl Zimmer at Logos Public School, Public Charter School. And I text messaged her. I said, hey, you're going to be open tomorrow? Because we hadn't heard yet. She says, I hate this, but yeah. I haven't having to do that. And their parking lot, of course, was just still stuffed with snow. Our parking lot got cleared off yesterday. We had a service come in. It was kind of nice not having to navigate or negotiate the snow. But I don't know. It's going to start getting colder. This weekend, I guess, will be colder but drier is the way it's looking. Other news here locally here, Providence and the Oregon Nurses Association have inked a tentative deal to end the, it's been almost a month that this strike has been going on, and it's affecting about 400 nurses here in Southern Oregon. 5,000 Providence nurses ended up walking off the job January 10th. And the way it's being put out here is that nobody is particularly thrilled about it. I don't know, maybe that's going to be a fair one. Well, at this point, they're giving the nurses another day or two to vote on it, the nurses union. So they'll be voting today, tomorrow, and Saturday to see if the deal is approved. 770-5633. Let me go to the lines here on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Good morning. It's Brett.
Hey, Brett. How are you today?
Central Point is still on a two-hour delay this morning.
They are. Okay. I wasn't sure if I hadn't checked. It looked like everybody else had done that. It doesn't seem to be an unreasonable thing just to have a delay because the streets seem to be pretty good. Is that that's my experience. What about you?
Yeah, I had to take my wife to the airport this morning and I don't think, at least here in town, it wasn't even freezing, but yesterday afternoon sun helped a lot.
Oh, it really did. We had some sun break out and start warming up the pavement, and a lot of the snow ended up going away, or at least was pretty easy to remove, too. That was great.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think tomorrow morning is probably the wild card right now.
Uh-huh.
They're predicting potentially a few more inches tonight, but we'll just have to see, our microclimate.
Yep, just like Greg Roberts had said over at Rogue Weather, and I received no more snow over in my home. We've received no more snow in this particular area, but, out in the hinterlands, and that's really what it is. We're talking about out in the higher elevation rural areas. It can be pretty sporty in some places,
Still. Central Point, they're running snow routes, two-hour delay, and then also snow routes because, Gold Hill, Sam's Valley, places like that, we have a lot of areas that are up higher elevations, so so those areas are on their snow routes. But people that live out there, they know how to deal with it too.
Yeah, they certainly do. Of course, a lot of them are still dealing with some power outages also, so that is still happening, because a lot of the places that are still experiencing the power outages are kind of like the Gold Hills. There's still a handful in Gold Hill. South Jackson County still has several hundred people that are still without power at this point this morning. Grants Pass is not nearly so bad. Sunny Valley has about 340 or so out, but that seems to be about it this morning. Appreciate the call, Brett. Thanks for that. 770-5633. Hopefully things are doing well for you this morning. Always appreciate the reports here. Interesting story coming out of Washington, D.C. This whole thing about President Trump suing CBS for, the fake news thing, the Kamala Harris interview, and wanting to actually get the interview, wanting to get the unedited interview. The FCC got involved in this. Unprecedented step. And they released the raw, unedited version of the 60 Minutes interview with former Vice President Kamala Harris. And it's quite interesting. I'm going to play that one of the snippets, which I think is quite interesting here in just a minute, and get your take on it. And some, are, of course, are saying that this is just a journalistic fraud. Others are saying, hey, this is the way that things happen. You know, you edit answers and such for time. But, well, I'll tell you, they were running cover. They were running cover. That's all I'll tell you. Well, more on that coming up. This is the Bill Meyer Show. Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now.
Two Dogs Fabricating. Our doghouse is on Bryan Way, just off Sage Road. Visit twodogsfab.com.
Hi, I'm Randy with Diner 62, and I'm on KMED.
By the way, speaking of Diner 62, a little bit later in the show, we're going to have a Diner 62 Real American Quiz, so maybe you can get some of that clam chowder and all those amazing... I don't know how they can afford to still put out egg dishes, but they are, and they're good. A whole bunch more at Diner 62. $20 gift certificate will be coming up a little bit later this morning. Good question here. I'm looking at this question, and it has to do with space. We're heading into space, the real frontier, or the last frontier, the final frontier. Of course, I don't know. Maybe AI is the final frontier. Or maybe just proving the existence of the soul should really be the last frontier. I know that the Elon Musks and the other tech bros, you know, they're very technocratic types that tend to not really grok or go down the road of anything, you know, or anything that reeks of spirituality, in my view. That just seems to be the way the technocrats have really designed themselves. Well, we're all about the science. And the science is, and the science says that, well, it's our brain. And if you're having a near-death experience and you're having interesting spiritual experiences, that can't be what's going on. The science says that's the sign of your brain dying, right? You know, you get those kind of things. And in the technocratic world, there's very little room for the supernatural, I suppose. And that's why they talk about doing things like, we'd like to download your brain into the computer, into the artificial intelligence, so that way you live forever. Ay, 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 ay. And these people have a lot of money to push that kind of thing. Probably the same sort of people that say, of course you could just slice off your genitalia and become something different just because you want to. It's all about self-actualization. Better yet, don't even bother cutting off your genitalia. Just go live in the artificial intelligence matrix, and then you can be whoever you want, no matter what, and we'll continue to feed you. Just go ahead and keep secreting adrenochrome or whatever that stuff is that Alex Jones would always talk about. Let me go. Well, you had to bring that up. It's Conspiracy Theory Thursday, right? Let me go to Francine. Hi, Francine. How are things in Talent this morning? Do you still need ski poles to walk across the street, or is it getting better?
Yeah, well, actually, it wasn't across the street. It was to my next-door neighbors, and we have, you know, an opening between our properties.
Oh, good.
And
all right.
There's lots of trees, you know, that are all, like, hanging down really low now from the weight of the snow, and you kind of have to duck under a few things.
Yeah, and that's what's been causing all of the problems with the power, too, because it's so heavy, the ice and the snow so heavy, just bringing it down, and all of these power outages have been limb after limb after limb taking stuff down. That's what's been going on.
Right, yeah. So listen, I have two things I want to mention. One is I want to make a little announcement about something that I'm offering, and then the other is I have a little bit of a conspiracy theory I want to discuss. So which would you like first, Bill?
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you do the announcement first, and then let's wrap on the conspiracy theory, since this is Conspiracy Theory Thursday.
That's right.
All
okay.
Right.
All right. Well, I'm in the process of a move to my next door property, which is a much bigger, nicer place, and I'm really excited. But to do so, I'm cleaning up that place because the woman that lived there is incapacitated at this time. Mm-hmm. And I have to clean up my place and, you know, get it prepared for somebody else. And so, it's, you know, I'm really, really, really busy. And one of the things that is over at the new place are probably 15 to 20 garbage bags full of cans and bottles. And I don't have time to deal with it. So I would like to offer it to either an organization, you know, a good organization, or to, if anybody knows of a family that is hurting and really could use some extra money, that would really be nice to see it go to something like that. It's available, and if somebody wants to get hold of me through you, if that's all right with you,
okay. I would really prefer not to be the referee of who gets a hold of you. You want to just put your number out, or do something else with that? How do you want to handle it?
I don't know. Let's see. I guess I could. I just hate putting my number on a radio. You know.
Oh, like, but you want to give everybody my number to go do your work, right?
Well, everybody already has your number.
Okay, I suppose so. All right, get in touch with me if you would like the 20 bags of bottles and cans. Hey, you know, that could be a good $100 or more, you know.
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why, but I just don't have time to deal with it, and I want somebody that could use it to have it.
Okay, so either email me or, better yet, folks, just email me, bill@billmyershow.com.
Yeah,
if you want the 20 bags of bottles. And, of course, you know, you could probably just walk down the street and just say, hey, homeless camp, come over here. Why don't you just do that?
I am not facilitating.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Appreciate the call. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. And now, here, wait.
What?
My conspiracy.
Oh, the conspiracy.
Okay.
We forgot about that. Go ahead.
Plus, Bill, pay attention. Focus. Okay. So, you know, all of these things that Trump is doing and, you know, to help make America great again.
Mm-hmm.
But has anybody ever wondered if his goals seem to be taking a lot of control, incorporating various areas of the world under the guise of making America great? You know, everything is becoming, kind of with centralized power of America.
Well, yeah, it's kind of a, I think in some ways he's trying to rebuild a little bit of that empire that has been under.
I understand, but the whole empire thing is a little scary. You know, it makes you think about Great Britain and, you know, blah, blah, blah. The thing is, right now, we're facing people that want to run the world and have it as a one-world government. Do you think Trump can be either a knowing or an unknowing agent of the New World Order?
Well, I don't believe he's a knowing agent. He could certainly be an unknowing. I don't know. It's hard for me to say. The one thing you can tell is that he definitely seems to love America. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think, though, that he's an insider like everybody else who is in power. I know people have talked about him being the outsider. He is just a different version of insider. All the big major politicians are, okay? And there's a real difference of opinion or a real battle for control and the soul of the planet, really, in my opinion, when you look at it, because, you know, you have the Klaus Schwabs. Now, Jim Quinn, you ever read Jim Quinn on the Burning Platform?
Oh, sometimes, yeah.
Okay, Jim Quinn on the Burning Platform has a great article, and he kind of detailed what I've been paraphrasing with you, is that you have the two groups that want to own and control the world that are battling right now. And it's not just a Democrat versus Republican, but it's kind of that technocratic. You have the one side, the technocratic of the tech bros and the Klaus Schwabs and the WEFs reducing population. And then you have the other side of that, which is wanting to maintain, you know, some independence, some constitutional government, some local, some governmental sovereignty, you know, and not go with the whole global route. That's really the battle that's going on, and it comes up with strange bedfellows. It doesn't necessarily break down neatly between Republicans and Democrats, because I would dare say Mitch McConnell, as an example, would be a member of the WEF side of things, even though he's a Republican.
Yeah.
And Lindsey Graham, too. You know, same sort of thing.
Right.
You know, and so you can't break it down neatly this way. And it's kind of a fight to the death in many ways. And that's the that's the scary part about it. And we're sort of, it's kind of above our pay grade. We have a modicum of control. Yeah, tiny vote on the presidential election sort of thing. But I think that's what's going on. And
I think you've explained it very well.
Yeah. And does President Trump, you know, is he a knowing part in trying to bring in globalism? I don't believe so. I'm wondering if he looks at the expansion of U.S. footprint and power as a way to tamp down globalism, because United States has arguably been going in a different direction right now. I'm not sure yet. It's still early in this game, in this administration.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really glad we got him in. I'm really, really grateful compared to what we could have had.
But like any other president, there are going to be a lot
I'm
of things that he does that's good. And there are some things that he does that that I'm not going to agree with, and I will be honest with my opinion about that. And
right.
And there's a blogger that I read, a financial blogger named Mike Shedlock on mishtalk.com. I highly recommend him because it gets into all sorts of stuff. He says there are two types of types of derangement syndrome. There's Trump, and by the way, there's both Trump derangement syndrome and Israeli derangement syndrome. Right? Trump derangement syndrome that everybody knows about, that Trump can do no wrong and he's going to bring in fascism. And then there is Trump derangement syndrome number two, which many of his supporters have, which Trump can do no wrong. And that's just as deranged.
The MAGAs.
Exactly. That is just as deranged. We have to always be vigilant, even especially for our guy. You know, as far as I'm concerned, you have to be and rein it back in. There's also the Israeli derangement syndrome. That is, Israel can do no wrong. And the other version of Israeli derangement syndrome is that Israel can do nothing right or nothing good, you know. And right now, the Israeli derangement syndrome that Israel can do no wrong is pretty much in control of Congress. You know, it's pretty much what controls both sides of it. And it's very powerful. And yet, even the opponents of Israel, they're wrong, too.
The thing with Israel is they were involved in quite a few of our false flag events.
Yeah, I know. But those are unpleasant truths that, shut up. You're not supposed to talk about that. OK,
yeah, exactly.
All right. Hey, thank you, Francine. I got to go. OK, we'll have some more open phones in a little while. Also, Senator Jeff Golden will be joining me at 7:30, catching up on various issues. And let's catch up on the rest of the news here next. And then we're going to be talking about a climate change lawsuit that went down in flames. It may portend better outcomes for what they're trying to do to Oregon and the West Coast. More on that coming up.
As a business owner, you likely do a lot of driving around town, so turn your business vehicle.
We already know. We've got your truck, your SUV, your certified pre-owned, and all invoices posted on our new cars.
News Talk 106.3 KMET. This is the Bill Meyer Show.
We'll be back to taking more of your calls on Conspiracy Theory Thursday here in about 10, 15 minutes or so, because I wanted to bring some attention, some love to a story that didn't get a lot of reporting, at least out here on the West Coast, probably because they wouldn't be supporting what had happened with this, and it has to do with a climate lawsuit being dropped. This was the one going after the oil companies. I wanted to discuss this with Dr. Sterling Burnett, PhD. He's the director of the Robinson Center on Climate and Environmental Policy at the Heartland Institute. Doctor, it is a pleasure having you on. Good morning, sir.
Thanks for having me on. Looking forward to it.
And, you know, anybody that's worked with anything that has Art Robinson's name on it, you know, our past state senator and his son, of course, Noah, is now in the state senate in Oregon. You got to be doing some good work over there.
Hmm? Yeah, well, they're really good folks. And Art has been a leading line on science issues.
Hey, could you tell us what happened with this New Jersey climate lawsuit? And I would have thought that this would have been treated friendlier by the courts, but it apparently got shot down. And there's a lot of these climate lawsuits, especially being filed on the behalf of the children are crying, hence we must destroy Western civilization. Kind of feeling coming from the high schools and such like that. What's going on here?
Hmm? Well, these lawsuits have been going on, filed by different parties. Many of the ones by children are represented by the same environmental lobbying advocacy law firm, suing oil companies, saying their damages, that oil companies are damaging the environment. They've lied about them damaging the environment. How? Because they're causing climate change, and it's killing us. It'll cause sea level rise, whatever the claims that they make a different lawsuit.
Essentially, everything that Al Gore was talking about for years in the movies and the documentaries,
sure.
So-called, right? Same thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And because of that, they're being sued by cities, states, saying we should be compensated for the damages they're causing to us and for the lies that they've told. And almost every court that has, first off, I would argue that these cases never should have made it through the courthouse door. The court should have, from the outset, say, you can't show provable damages. You can't tie it to any particular oil company. You're the ones using the oil. In fact, every one of the cities that's making these claims to actively burning oil and gas every day in their vehicles.
And then you could almost say, all right, on. if you believe this, if you truly believe this, why don't you just stop using it, right?
Yeah, the lawyers show up not in electric vehicles, but in limousines and in cars. It's like, look, you're the ones, if carbon dioxide is pollution, if anyone's causing it, it's the people using it, not the oil companies that are selling it, you should stop using it. You can't sue someone for something you're doing.
Are they trying to use some legal terminology of sorts in which they're like drug dealers and we're addicts and we can't help ourselves? Or, you know, what's the actual legal process?
They won't say they're addicts. They're just saying that companies have misled us about the dangers. Oh my gosh, we'd never have run a police car or a fire engine on gasoline if only we had known the dangers of CO2 to future generations 100 years from now, that the seas might rise a couple of extra inches. It's not believable. But the whole point is the courts never should have allowed it. And the fact that they did is an embarrassment to the law. The other reason they shouldn't have allowed it, and this is the place where the New Jersey case got tossed a few weeks ago, New York's case got tossed for the second time, by the way. Maryland's, Baltimore's, some other cases have gotten tossed routinely where these have actually had a hearing. They've been thrown out. Is because interstate commerce is solely the province of the federal Congress. Congress has delegated the authority to regulate interstate commerce in the Constitution, not the states, not a city or a county, and not kids, the Congress. And the courts have said, the ones that have thrown these out, is this is clearly interstate commerce. These companies are headquartered in one place. They develop oil in other places. They ship it to other places, and it's used all over. If that's not interstate commerce, nothing is. And so it's Congress's job to decide whether CO2 should be regulated and limited. Right now, oil companies are operating legally. And until they're not, it's not the authority of either the courts or the states to regulate CO2 or to fine companies for producing oil and gas, which we use. That's the bottom line. There's only one case that's gone forward that has gotten any traction.
And that's the one in Montana. And where did they go wrong? Because there's another fellow that I've talked to off and on. I haven't talked to him about that, what happened recently, but Dr. Ed Berry. I don't know if you guys have ever had any contact with him.
Yeah, no, I don't know him.
Yeah, but he said that was a winnable suit and that the GOP in Montana didn't put up a particularly good defense. Do you have an opinion on that? I don't know if you watched it or not.
That's true. So none of the cases have the oil companies put up a good defense. Their first defense should be, you know, the outline what I said, but they should also go directly after the science. The science is flawed. Computer models are made just to predict temperatures. They don't get the temperatures right, and if you can't trust their temperature projections, because that's what they're shaped for, that's what they're constructed to do, then you shouldn't trust any of their other projections. There's no evidence climate change is making weather worse.
But yet, this is what is held up for all sorts of government interference. In fact, we're here in Southern Oregon, affected under wildfire risk management maps, which were made by the state of Oregon, and everything's about computer modeling. Well, our computer modeling says that this is going to happen here and that this will happen there, and yet, you know, but it's like the entire world of tyranny is being run through some people going in and getting in front of their computers and writing software. Am I wrong about this? Because otherwise,
That's right. And the problem is, models, they keep saying the science.
Yes.
Models aren't science at all. They're tools used in the methods of carrying out scientific discovery. But the outputs of these models are only as good as what you input, and they don't have good inputs for these models. They're better than nothing, I guess. In some instances, they're better than others. There are fewer factors that have to be assumed or built in. But climate models are enormously complex. And so they should have attacked the science in all of these cases. They should say, show us the data, the real data on the harms you say are being caused. But secondly, Montana was difficult for another reason. Montana is, as far as I know, the only state in the nation that in their constitution is built in the right to a clean and healthy environment.
Oh, they want to do that here in the state of Oregon. We have a state legislator that wants to put that before the people. Oh, so this is it. And, of course, what's the definition of a clean environment? Well, that would be a CO2-free environment. Of course, your environment would also be dead without CO2, but that seems to get kind of lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. They have this vision of this is the proper level of CO2 that Mother Nature designated, and we're messing it up. In the end, That's the problem they had in Montana. Montana has that as a provision of its constitution. What it means to be clean and healthy is amorphous. It's you know, very vague.
Well, clean and healthy would be, let me just use a little conjecture here. CO2 free, and you are fully vaccinated with whatever some government scientist said you should have. See, there we go. We're going to go down the rabbit hole, okay?
that's probably right. But, of course, you know, with that as a background, and with the oil companies not contesting the scientific claims that CO2 is causing harm, the court said, you know, look, you're not saying it's not causing harm. The Republicans aren't saying it's not causing harm. And if it's causing harm and you've got a right to a clean and healthy environment in Montana, okay. The case is closed.
Okay.
So
now, are the oil companies
change their constitution? They need to define what it means to be clean and healthy, or they need to not define CO2 as a pollutant.
Yeah. And CO2 has never been considered a pollutant, ever.
No.
In fact, we still have here in Oregon, depending on the quality of the marijuana growing market here, you have inside grows that they're piping CO2 into it all the time to make the plants grow faster and bigger.
It's not just marijuana growers. It's anyone who runs a greenhouse. My brother-in-law owns a business there in Oregon, and he is surrounded by greenhouses and nurseries. And when they have enclosures, they're pumping CO2 in there. And that's because it helps plants grow. There's a good argument to the effect that plants on Earth were almost starving for CO2 at the end of the last ice age when CO2 dipped for the first time ever to 180 parts per million, 30 parts less, and they can't do photosynthesis anymore. And when plants can't photosynthesize, when green plants die, we all die. We came out of it. Nature recovered to 280 parts per million. Now we're adding more. We are adding more. Don't get me wrong. We're adding CO2 to the atmosphere.
Sure.
It's not near, but it's not toxic. Ask any greenhouse grower where he's putting 1,200, 1,300, 5,000 parts per million and walking around in there. It's not dangerous, and it's good for plants. Most plants evolved at a time when we had higher CO2 levels than now.
Isn't there a case to be made that essentially why the Earth has been greening in many places has been due to this? In fact, some of the desert retreating over in Africa. Isn't that true?
No, that's 100% true. It's not a case to be made. It's just a fact. CO2 helps plants grow. They grow faster. Their roots become stronger. They absorb CO2 faster and better. And they use water more efficiently because they don't have to open their stoma for respiration as long every day. So even if droughts occur, they still do better because they manage their water more efficiently. That's all the benefits of CO2 to plants.
Yeah.
And our crop yields are showing it. The retreat of desert edges is showing it. Study after study has shown this. There's no refutation of that. That's just a fact.
All right. Now, back to this New Jersey climate lawsuit. I'm speaking with Dr. Sterling Burnett, Ph.D. He's the director of the Robinson Center on Climate and Environmental Policy at the Heartland Institute. All right. Back to the lawsuit here. The New Jersey climate lawsuit was dropped for prejudice. What does dropped for prejudice mean? Could you help us understand that?
Yeah, with prejudice.
Or with prejudice.
What it means is this, is that they can't refile it.
Oh, okay. All right.
Sometimes you have a lawsuit. And they say, look, we're not judging the merits of the case, but it was, you know, it was filed improperly. You didn't do the paperwork right. You don't have all your facts straight. We're not going to bar the door for you to refile this lawsuit in the future. But when you block a lawsuit, when a court throws out a lawsuit or a criminal trial with prejudice, it can never be refiled again in that jurisdiction.
All right. Are we looking for something like this to happen? I know that one of the big things that the California state legislature wanted to do was to sue the oil companies and other energy companies for the L.A. wildfires, claiming that their climate chaos, their terms that they have talked about, is the reason why L.A. fires ended up burning. And, of course, I find it fascinating how oil and gas ended up creating California government incompetency, but I digress. What do you think about that? Huh?
Oil companies made them not keep their fire hydrants stocked with water, not keep their reservoirs filled, not manage their water, not manage their brush. That's all oil companies' fault. oil companies made homeless people or arsonists start fires. That's all oil companies' fault. In the end, California's benefited tremendously from oil and gas. They levy taxes on all the oil being pumped there. They're using their transportation. Even as they push the electrify, every time their grid collapses in the summer, Gavin Newsom says, oh, yeah, we want you to use electric vehicles, but don't charge them because we don't want to shut down the grid. So the case should go nowhere. But in the end, the Supreme Court of the United States needs to consolidate all these cases, not allow them to be held in state court, make it one federal case, and then dismiss it. And then say, with prejudice, like they did at the federal court in New Jersey, this cannot be filed again. If you want to regulate CO2, you know, look, I think it's stupid for them to regulate CO2. I think it's not based in science. I think it would be dangerous. But if it's to be done so, there's a right way of doing it, and only Congress can pass a law forcing the regulation of CO2.
Because everything about CO2, it's interstate commerce, it's interstate trade. On the other hand, though,
it's international. Only the federal government has the right to make treaties.
Yeah, but the other part about this, which is kind of it's chilling to me, Dr. Burnett, is that CO2 is breathed in and out by every living thing on the planet. And, you know, in essence, when they want to regulate CO2, it's like someone's going to say, we're going to regulate who lives and dies. Is that a bridge too far to even make that claim?
Taken to its extreme, that's what it is. Is if CO2 is a pollutant, every time any one of us exhales, we're polluting. And if you can regulate pollution, you can regulate people. It's people. The whole climate crisis claim, the whole existential threat of climate change is nothing more nor less than a way to control people. It's all about controlling people. It is pushed by people, especially who think there are too many people on Earth, population control advocates, people who admire China's one-child policy, even if it uses force. You know, they're all for women's rights until their right to have a child, and then it's, let's sterilize them.
Yeah, I've even noticed that there are globalist kind of terms of art that start making it into social media, terming children crotch droppings, and I will see stuff like that. And, but I mean, it is so anti-life. It just astounds me. But
yeah, they think humans are the problem. Human resource use is the problem. They say people in the West consume too much as they fly their private jets. And drive their Hummers and go to their galas and eat their five-star meals. And even though they say it's all about, you know, helping developing countries, what they want to do is not make a lot of sacrifices here, not to rich people. Average people here have to make a lot of sacrifices. Give up travel, give up their private cars, give up eating meat. But developing countries, all they have to do to be heroes for the environment for these folks is to stay poor, continue to die early death, preventable death.
Something tells me the developing world doesn't want to stay poor.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. The developing world wants what we have, and who can blame them?
Yeah. Dr. Sterling Burnett, PhD, Director of the Robinson Center on Climate and Environmental Policy. Heartland Institute, you're writing on this case and so much more. It's at heartland.org or heartlandinstitute.org. You want to get that address right.
It's heartland.org.
Heartland.org. Thank you so much, Doctor. Great talk, and we'll look forward to having you back at some point. You be well, okay? Take care.
Thank you. Take care.
5 before 7, this is KMED 99.3 KBXG. If you've been waiting to get a call in or two before news on Conspiracy Theory Thursday, now's the time at 770-5633.
Hi, this is Cassie from Clouser Drilling. Drill, baby.
Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Give Bill a call at 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
Alan Parsons, The Voice. That was from iRobot. Album I got when I was first in high school, 1977, when it came out. It is still one of my all-time favorite albums. And, of course, it was written based on the Isaac Asimov story, iRobot. And I couldn't help but think that, you know, even then, 40-something years ago, they were talking about artificial intelligence and what this might portend. Yeah, the science fiction people, they're the ones that seem to really pay a lot of attention. Or, of course, I don't know, maybe it's predictive programming. Maybe it's predictive programming. It could be. Let me go back to the unpredictive programming of what is going on here with Senate Bill 762. Holly Morton, Josephine County Republican Party Chair here. Holly, you got an event Saturday you want to make sure people knew about, right?
Yes, we do. We're going to have a workshop at the office from 10 in the morning till about 4 in the afternoon to assist people in dealing with the paperwork issues of 762, filing the right paperwork, knowing when to send them in, and that kind of thing, and reminding people it's absolutely imperative that you file the appeal. There may be some lawsuits against the 762 effort, and so in order to be involved in that, you absolutely have to file the correct paperwork. So when you got that big certified package or registered package that came in explaining what's going on with your property, you must file an appeal.
I agree with you, and I'm glad to know that you're getting involved with this. One of my biggest concerns, and I forget who it was I was talking to that was concerned about this, is that people and property owners will get this impression that, well, there's a new president, and so everything is different now, and they'll be taking care of that or trying to fix it. No, you're not fixing the state of Oregon mix or the problems or the tyranny or the issues involved here. The attack on these intrusions are still here loud and proud. But, you know, there is that sort of human thing, well, man, I don't want to get involved with this, or I don't have the time. Listen, if you want to defend your property, you have to be doing this right now.
Recorded.
What was that, Holly? Holly?
I don't know. I'm not sure what that was.
Okay, it said this call is recorded. Okay. I don't know.
Well,
that.
It better not be recorded, but I suppose it doesn't matter.
Okay. All right.
No, I don't know. It was probably operator error on my end. No, people absolutely have to take personal action. You can't wait for the next guy to fix this. You can't wait for public officials to fix it. Every single property owner must take action.
Oh, I remember where I first heard that from. I think it was Ron Smith I was talking to, and what some guy was saying, well, why can't the county do this? Well, the county is going to get involved in the fight there, too. But you have to make sure and have your dog in it, because if it ends up going to lawsuits, which it probably will, unless it gets repealed, you have to have your standing in there, too.
That's correct. Everybody must file the correct paperwork. So we're having a big meeting today with all the professionals so that by Saturday we're going to know exactly what paperwork we need to file, when, in what order, and who to call, and we'll provide the numbers. We're going to make it easy for people to get the job done, but they do need to take action.
And that'll be 10 to 4 at the Josephine County Republican Party headquarters, right across from the Joe County Courthouse. 10 to 4 Saturday is when that's going on, right?
That's right.
All right. Very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill.
Commissioner Colleen Roberts just popped me an email in here, too. Let's see. Is that... This is interesting. This is interesting. Commissioner Roberts reaching out to Senator Golden, rather, trying to see if there would be a town hall here in Medford to address this particular issue, the wildfire mapping, and Senate Bill 762, and puts in a lot of questions to him also. We'll be talking with Senator Golden here in a few minutes after 7:30 news. Hi, Cherry. How are you? What's on your mind?
Hi. Well, I'm a little bit shocked because I was watching Channel 12 last night.
Oh, the F-bomb that got dropped with a kid?
Yes.
Yeah.
you heard that? OMG!
Yeah, the sad part is that you have little kids that drop F bombs, and obviously it's just so common within the culture. It just doesn't matter. Now that was a live shot, right? That's just the way it happens, and sometimes stuff like that happens when you're doing a live on scene event or you're doing a live broadcast. So it happens.
Well, I just have I watched The Green Book. Have you ever seen that with Viggo Mortensen, who played Tony Lip?
No, I've not seen The Green Book. Give me a quick thumbnail on it.
That is a great movie about the 60s and racism and this prodigy black man who was a piano player, lived atop Carnegie Hall, and he had to be shuttled around all over the country to play. And obviously, because of his color, it was very, very difficult. So they hired Tony Lip to do it, and it was all about that, you know, what happened to them and the music. I mean, if you are I'm a piano player, and I heard you are, and it was unbelievably fabulous.
So you like The Green Room. I'll look that up. Is that a Dish kind of movie or something else?
It's The Green Book.
No, it's the Green Book, but did you get it on Dish or something else? I mean, how did you get it?
Right, on Dish.
Oh, okay, great. I'll look it up, and I always appreciate your movie suggestions, and I really liked some of the ones that you brought up. I appreciate it, okay?
Really? Oh, good.
Because I got to tell you, the vast majority of the movies suck, in my opinion. I don't know if you have that feeling. I feel like they don't make movies for me. They don't make movies for me. You know, it's like the only movies they want to make half the time on Amazon and all the rest of it. Okay, what's the thing that usually starts off with? We have drug cartel mob bosses, right? And they're slicing each other up and back, and I'm supposed, and there's like nobody in any of the movies in any of the drug, and it's always Mexican drug cartels or South American drug cartels. And it's always very dark. It's always shot very darkly. And there's absolutely nobody in the movie that you can cheer for. Even the good guy is a bad guy on some level.
You got it.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. I'll take that one. Let me grab one more before news. Hi, good morning. This is Bill.
Bill, is this me?
Yes, it is. Hi, who's this?
Hey, Bill, this is Terry out in the Applegate. I just want to tell you what kind of reception I received when I called the Oregon Department of Forestry on Bill 762. I told them, you know, that it doubled my fire insurance, or almost doubled it.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Oh, my God, that's horrible." And then he started laughing. And then I said, "Hey, I'm 80 years old, living on a fixed income. This, it's going to be really hard to deal with this, you know, financially." And he laughed at me again. And then he gave me the insurance phone number of whoever regulates insurance. But that's the kind of people we're dealing with. You know, shut up, you little peon.
Shut up, you little peon, and prepare your land to let the federal land managers burn through it. That's essentially
exactly
what. Yeah. Boy, yeah. That is, I'm just wondering if ODF is feeling a little beat down, because remember, Oregon Department of Forestry is an agency, and they are implementing a law that they were told by the legislature to do. I'm not convinced they necessarily wanted to do it, but that's what happened. State legislature did this. The Oregon Department of Forestry is just the fist that has been hired or tasked with smacking you upside the head with it. Okay?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's not good bedside manner. It's not good side banner, good bedside or doctor's bedside manner from the ODF, at least that particular person. Thanks for letting me know.